Okay, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to another episode of Harvest Now Conversations. Welcome back. We're going to still talk about backsliding. So last week we talked about why people backslide and our experience with backsliding and like how to not backslide. But this episode we're going to be talking about what do you do if you have a friend that is backslidden and you can tell. And or if you have a friend that has left the faith, what do you do? So yeah, let's go straight into it. Jameson, do you know people that have left the faith?
I do. I do know people. And my approach with them is being there for them to the best that you can. Mm. You know, we all have our own limitations.
Yeah.
But still being able to talk to them and attempt to empathize with them, I think is huge. But yeah, just being there for them, being able to talk to them, pray for them as well, like not necessarily with them, but you could be praying for them behind closed doors. But just reassuring them that you still love them no matter what and not giving up on them. I'd say I've got a verse in my experience when noticing if someone's backsliding, usually I would allow God to take the wheel in that. I'll just be there as a vessel. I'll just be there as an instrument or as a channel for God to speak and just allow whatever God wants to say to them come through. So in those moments, I have to be prayed up. I have to be in tune. I have to be listening to what God has to say. But usually what I stand on is in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And it says, again, I don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only starts fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach and be patient with difficult people. So often you would find that these people have a reason that they usually want to argue that this is why I want to go that way or this way, and they become a difficult person, right? Well, everyone's different, but just from what I've witnessed, usually they do become that kind of person. And it says here in verse 25, gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Okay, so the truth is, the truth is that they are backsliding. But we're not going to come in with plaques and, you know, our weapons and pitchforks and say, look, mate, you're backsliding. I'm going to push you. I'm going to force you back in. That's not how we do it. The word says here, gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and then they will learn the truth. So when I was saying about being there as a friend, still treating them the way you would treat them as, you know, as you were previously, with respect, with love, with value, and allowing God to be the one to bring conviction to their heart. And just, just letting God do his thing, letting God do what he needs to do for them, even if it means allowing them to have a moment to drift away for a bit, just for them to realize, just for them to come back to their senses, let God do his thing. My job is to still love them. My job is still to point towards the truth, but not force the truth onto them.
Do you still mention God?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll still talk to them like, you know, what has God said to you about this? I'll ask them, you know, like straight up, like, have you asked God about this decision? How is this going to affect your relationship with God? And depending on what the answer is, you know, it might be different. My trust is still that God is going to be the one to work at their heart, not me. I'm just there to remind them, you know, you still have a purpose. God still has a plan for you. Don't forget that. And just, it varies for different people. There's not a one size fits all, but this is what I usually keep in my heart, just knowing that God is the one to help with them.
What about you, Gwada? What's your approach?
Probably the same as Jameson. Definitely like be intentional when it comes to that, like when it comes to checking up with them. Let God do his thing. Like definitely not get in God's way. Don't Bible bash them. Definitely not. Like that can come as like condemning them. Yeah, it's just like be a friend. Not necessarily having to check up on them like every day, because really you know how they are spiritually, right? They're backslid. Yeah, it's just treat them the way you treat them, just like what Jameson said. Being their friend. Like what we have every day, daily conversations, right? Like just letting them know that you are there for them. You're still their friend. You still love them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's
Yeah. So like a real situation would be, so I think every church has a group chat. Mm. What do you do, say, if they leave the group chat? That's like a big deal nowadays. What have you done?
Usually, depending on my relationship with that person, I would say, hey, is everything okay? Mm. You know, I've noticed that you've left the chat. What's up? Mm. Very simple. But usually, yeah, you'd have to understand that they have a reason for doing that. They just didn't, you know, leave without thought. Mm. They must have put in a lot of thought into that, because leaving a chat is a pretty big deal.
It's like
a divorce. Yeah, it sounds simple, but it is a pretty big deal, right? Mm. But yeah, just a simple, you know, what's happening? Is everything okay? And then just listening to God on what to do from that point on and just having a conversation.
Mm. Yeah. Because there's... So there have been situations where, and it's, I've done it before, I've left the chat, and in my mind, it's a test. Who is going to reach out to me? Mm. So then in those situations, like when people do that, do you think it's beneficial for them that people would reach out to them and like kind of encourage that?
So you're saying like, you say, would I encourage a person to leave a chat just to figure out who their real friends are?
No, like...
Is that what you mean?
Because there have been times where I have left subconsciously just to see. And I think the way people have treated me when I've backslidden, especially with Pastor Rod. Pastor Rod basically left me alone. He didn't reach out or anything like that. He left me alone, and that was his approach.
Yeah.
He let me die, die to myself. And then I came back. Like, it was like the prodigal son, where I came to myself.
Yeah. Mm.
And then I came back. So do you, what's your thoughts on that? Like, say if the prodigal son, if the father kept following him and like, hey, are you okay?
Yeah.
Are you right? Like, do you reckon that prodigal son would be
well,
back?
Like, it really depends on how people receive things as well, right? So in that case, because we were with Pastor Rod, and although on your side it looked like he just left you, you know, to go, there was a lot of intercession happening behind closed doors for you. He was with like, all right, let's leave him out and let's enter into that spiritual warfare on his behalf. Let's pray against whatever has been messing with him, whatever has been trying to put him down, whatever is trying to kill him. And we'll defeat it there. So that way, God can work in your heart so that when the heart is healed, then the words that we speak will actually be effective. Because at that point, no matter what we said, it wouldn't go through, right? Like there were so much barriers. Yeah. The wall was so thick that our words wouldn't get through. So it's like, all right, God is the only one who's going to be able to penetrate through.
Yeah.
So that's when we got into serious business. That's when we had to pray daily for you. And then that's when you came to your senses.
Yeah.
That's when you realized you had a revelation that you needed God.
Yeah.
Actually, I didn't get to finish off that passage. That last verse actually says in verse 26, it says, then they will come to their senses and escape the devil's trap. For they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. So at that point, there was you were held captive. So we're like, all right, let's get into warfare. Let's defeat the devil that has held him captive. Let's release him from that captivity so that we can allow God to rescue him from the pit. And that's what happened.
So did it work?
Oh, absolutely. You share this all the time. Like there was a moment where I want to speak to you. It was night and day. Like there was a complete 180 degree turn. You were like a different person after one day. And that was only the work of God. It was supernatural. And that just goes to show that prayer works.
Yeah, 100%.
If you're listening to this, I don't want to get on a bit of a preach right here, but if you know someone, if you have family members who you know have backslidden, the best thing that you can do for them is pray for them. You're going to fight the battles for them because they can't fight the battle with God. I mean, not just on your own, with God, because they're in a place where they feel like they cannot fight. We've got to stand up as brothers and sisters to fight for them with God in the spirit.
And then if you are supposed to reach out to them, you'll know.
100%. Time and place.
There is a time and place, because if any one of them, I know if any one of them were to come to me early, I would have disregarded them. So that's a bit of an encouragement for you guys, because I reckon I'm one of the hardest people to minister to, because I grew up in church. So it's like, there's literally nothing that I haven't heard.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's hard to encourage someone like that.
Especially when you're coming from the mindset of like, I know how you guys are trained to reach out to people. You're just following protocol.
You're just following
the religious duty of what to do.
It's like, why are you talking to me?
Yeah, this is pretentious. You just doing the Christian thing to do, right? Yeah. But that's when we're saying you got to separate ministry aside and just be a friend.
Yeah.
You've got to separate yourself from that and just be there with them. You don't even have to talk Christian. You don't even have to talk about Jesus. Just be there as a friend, loving them.
Yeah.
Just through your actions.
Yeah.
And then when the time is right, reintroduce Jesus into the situation.
Mm. Yeah. I think what really helped was the being there part. Yeah. Like being available.
Yes.
Because I felt when I was away for a long time, the longer you are away, it's harder to come back because you feel like everyone's moved on.
Mm.
And if you were to come back to the faith, come back to church, it feels like, you feel like you've been left behind.
Mm.
And then, so just that being their part, just letting them know that no matter what happens, if you decide to come back, absolutely we're here.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So, what are things that we should avoid doing when it comes to ministering to these types of people, you reckon?
Well, Guada did mention it. Bible bashing is a huge thing.
Yeah.
Doesn't the Bible say this? Mm. You know, why aren't you living like that? You know, you should be living this way. You're weak.
Mm.
You know, the Bible says you're supposed to be this.
Mm.
You know, and just using the word to attack them rather than to uplift them.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's a whole different thing. You know, we use the word to edify and not to put people down.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you can actually come across as condemning.
Yeah.
You can come across as holier than thou.
Yeah.
You know? And essentially what you're doing is you're trying to dominate their thoughts.
Yeah.
You're trying to dominate their reason.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to understand their reason.
Mm.
But yeah, coming from an attacking approach rather than a loving approach, I'd say you got to be mindful of that.
Mm.
Because as we said before, time and place.
Mm.
Yeah.
You have to learn how to discern what to say, when to say it, because everything happens in seasons.
Mm. Yeah.
You say the wrong thing in the wrong season, you can set them back even further.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not what you want to do.
Mm. Yeah. Guara.
Yeah. One important thing as well is like, you know, pray beforehand before you're ministering to these 100%. People. Because like, man, only Holy Spirit knows how to deal with this type of stuff or what that person is going through. Only Holy Spirit knows the hearts of the people, right? So if you've been praying for this person or you've been praying before, and even when you're talking to them, pray. And, you know, be open to what the Holy Spirit is saying through you for this person.
Mm.
So, prayer is definitely so important when it comes to ministering to people, because if you're not, like, you know, having that private time with the Holy Spirit, there's no way you can do it on your own. You can feel it when you've been praying, and when you've not been praying, it's definitely better.
Yeah.
Like you really sense that you're more prepared because you've been praying.
Mm.
So yeah, prayer is very, like, it's a big deal. It's huge.
Do you have any stories of these examples?
Of
ministering to people that have left the faith.
And have said the wrong thing.
Said the wrong thing, or said you've said the right thing. Any stories?
I don't have one exactly in mind. It's been a while since I've thought about this. But we'll pass it on to Guada for this.
Okay.
See if she has anything.
Well,
come back to me.
I do have a friend who had... She doesn't go to our church. She goes to a different church. But we are connected. So we like check up on each other now and then.
Mm.
But... there was this one time while I was praying, and God was just showing me, like, you know how God shows you faces when you pray, and God, he just showed me this specific person, and all I said was, God, let your will be done, right? Because I didn't know exactly what was going on, because I haven't spoken to her in a while, so my heart was really set to pray for her and speak to her. So the next day I sent her a message. I just got a word because I've been praying for her, right? I just got a word for her. and she called me and she said, the night that I was praying, all glory to God, she wanted to give up. Like she almost wanted to die. But that very night she felt the presence of God. And all I said was, God, let your will be done. And it's that simple. Like, and then the next day when I messaged her, I just had a very simple word, and she said, this really ministered to me. And so we talked on the phone for hours. And after that conversation, yeah, it was just all Holy Spirit, honestly. Like, there was no way that I knew what she was going through, because we haven't caught up in like months. And I was just, yeah, all these words were just coming out. I'm like, wow, praise God. Because yeah, it's a good thing that I prayed, because otherwise I wouldn't have been able to handle this situation. So yeah, and she, and that day she prayed the prayer of salvation. She came back to God that day, and honestly, all glory to him. Because there's no way I would have like done that on my own. So that was very, very cool. Praise God.
Like, I know with you, like, there are people that have had dreams about you. You know what I mean? Dreams that you were going to talk to them, and then boom, you reach out to them, and then it's already there.
Yeah, we did. Actually, both of us experienced that twice with the same person. Recently, actually, a few weeks ago, we had a worship night, and I was just being still in the Lord and just listening to what he wanted to say to me. And he brought this person into my mind and started pressing this person into my heart. I'm like, wow, I haven't thought about this person in years. You know, what's going on here? So I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he says, I want you to reach out to this person. This was only a couple of weeks ago. And then I said, all right, Lord, I'll shoot this person a message. I'm just going to trust you. And because I don't know what to say aside from, how are you doing? It's been a while. So I sent him a message. Hey, you know, so-and-so, I miss you. It's been a while. I just want to see how you're doing. And then this person goes, you know what? I start replying, but then gets to a point where this person goes, you know what? This is insane, because just 2 weeks ago, I had a dream that you and Guada reached out to me saying, you know, when are you going to come back to church? And she's like, I'm tripping out right now. And it's like, wow, like there was just that impression into my heart that I couldn't ignore, and I just had to obey. And that's actually the second time it happened. Like a year or so before that, we bumped into this person at our local shop. And then this person again, she was like, was stunned, because she was like, I actually just had a dream about you guys last night. That I was going to bump into you guys. And so a bit of context, this person left the church, went through some stuff, left the church unwillingly because it was a part of a family. And she was very young, so she had no other way to get to here. And she kind of got lost. And so, yeah, we kind of lost contact with this person. And then God just created a way for us to reconnect with this person again. And what he was doing was reaching out to this person through her dreams. And then, you know, we heard on our end and then just reached out to her. So this is, I know it sounds pretty deep and stuff, but this stuff is real. Like, it really happens. And it's happened a couple times as well. Coming back to the question, like praying and being in tune with whoever God puts into your heart,
it
might, like as Guada says, it might sound silly, it might sound ridiculous, like why would this person want to hear from me? Just do it. Just reach out. It doesn't even have to come across preachy. A simple, hey, how are you doing? It's been a while. That could go a very long way. You could be setting this person up back on track into where Christ wants them to be. Just by reaching out to them.
You know, when you guys were praying for me, like part of my testimony was I had a dream. And the dream was I was preaching in front of a multitude, and I was saying that we need people, we need one another. And at the time, that was the opposite of what I thought. At the time, I hated people. So yeah, like what I learned from that is, and from all your guys' stories, like while we're not perfect and we're learning and we're growing in this, like, this is, we've got to really emphasize going to God with his strategy, because he can go with dreams, he can go with the right word of knowledge, he can go with call them right now, tell them this, and with the fire and brimstone, you know, kind of thing. Or you could do the approach that Pastor Rod did with me and let me go. So don't do anything without God. Because it'll end up bad. It'll really end up bad if you just go in with your own ideas.
Yeah.
And your own
assumptions.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the story, like I have a couple stories of talking to people that have left. And it's still an ongoing process. But my prayer was that they would become hungry again. And when I talked to them and I talked to them about God, they said to me, and I hear from even in conversation with them and other people, that they were hungry for God again. So I'm like, oh, praise God. He answered my prayer. And then that just opens the door. Because if the door is closed and you're trying to break it down, force your way in, it won't be a genuine conversion.
Yeah.
It'll be a forced thing, and then eventually, you know, they'll just leave again.
Yeah.
But trust God's timing as well.
Yeah.
For me, just my personality is like, I want it done now.
Yeah.
It would be quick for me to just call them, tell them what I think, get back into line, you know what I mean? But yeah, some people, like even me, like it took years for me to come back. And I think for anyone that's listening and has people that are in their heart, go to God, trust his timing.
Yeah, that's right.
Really pray and wait for his leading. Yeah.
Yeah, get wisdom. Just because it worked one way for you or worked one way for another doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work that way for another person.
Yeah.
So you got to be able to discern. You have to be able to have wisdom. People receive things differently. And people come from different backgrounds, different upbringings, different ways of interpreting things. So you're just going to be mindful of that. And yeah, like Jello said, you have to really have God working with you, guiding you on how to do that.
Yeah.
And trust in him. You know, trust that God will intervene, just as we read here in Timothy, that he will be the one to change their heart.
Yeah.
It's not us.
Yeah.
We just do what he tells us to do, and he does the rest.
Yeah. Because if you're the one that saves them, it's all glory to you. Well done to you. And that's not right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to finish off, what is something that you want to say? So say if someone that's listening and they are backslidden in heart, what would you say to them right now?
Today's the day. You're listening to this podcast for a reason. God has drawn you here, and it's no coincidence that you're listening about this. Make that decision today. You know, Jesus absolutely loves you. I know you've heard this a million times, but let this one time be real. He absolutely loves you, and he has forgiven you, and his blood has cleansed you of your past. Come to him with confidence, move forward, and let the past be in the past. Open up a new door for the future, and just trust God all the way.
Yeah, Guana.
I wanted to say that. I wanted to say everything you wanted to say. But yeah. Today's the day, because tomorrow is not promised.
Yes,
tomorrow is not promised.
Yeah. So, yeah. Jesus is, he's waiting for you.
Yeah.
And I just love that how, like, he's always there for us. Even when, like, we feel like we're so far away, Jesus is there.
Yeah.
Just standing there waiting for you. He's got his arms wide open, waiting for you to jump and hug him.
Yeah.
So, God's love is... It's real. It's real, and it's true. Yeah. He loves you. Jesus loves you very much.
Yeah.
So just run to him. Just run to Jesus. Yeah. He's waiting for a big hug.
Yes. A picture that God gave me when I was coming back to him was he was on the edge of his seat. He's waiting. You know, he's not arms folded and here we go. He's back. Look, he came crawling back. He's so elated. He's like he'll throw a party for you.
Yes.
If he comes back. If you come back. When you come back. but yeah, what I would like to say, so like, because it's recent for me, where I've really come back, fully come back, what God's wisdom is just, it gives me so much joy. Mm. And specifically, like the direction that he gave me was, man cannot live by bread alone,
yeah,
but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Mm.
So to kind of explain why you've gotten into that predicament where you feel like you can't connect with God, to feel like you can't connect with his purpose, to feel like you're out of it, you've lost fire, you've lost faith. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Mm.
And what God emphasized with me in that verse is, you cannot live.
Yeah.
And I have, like, I look now in hindsight, I was only eating, like I was only feeding my faith, feeding my spiritual self on Sundays and on Wednesdays. Imagine if you only ate on Wednesdays and Sundays.
Yeah.
You'd be a dead,
yeah,
dead boy, dead girl. So, yeah, you need to have that close relationship. And trust me,
yeah,
being now on the other side of it, there is so much joy.
Yeah.
Mm. And God promises life and life abundant.
Amen.
Yeah.
So if you're experiencing anything less than that,
yeah,
brother, you gotta, there's something wrong there. You know, God, even through the storm, like we still go through challenges.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
We still go through challenges, but we can definitely say it's so much better now that we are going through it with the Lord.
Yeah.
If we were to go through it without the Lord, it would be a challenge and would also die in that challenge.
Mm.
You know, we'd also lose our faith, lose our purpose, lose everything. But with him, we can go through it with joy.
Yep.
So I'll just encourage you, listener, and yeah, God loves you. There is no condemnation.
Yep.
Just come back. And just like the prodigal son, the father came running as soon as he saw the son,
mm,
and he came, and when the son was trying to explain himself, he was about to say sorry.
Mm.
He cut him off. The father cut him off, and he's like, my son has come home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring him the robe, bring him the ring. Mm. And the ring symbolizes authority.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like the powerful thing of that is when we backslide, we feel that, oh, we can never get back.
Yeah.
But God gave him back everything.
Yeah.
You know, he gave the authority back, gave him the best robe, everything restored.
Mm.
So yeah, he's like life and life abundant is available.
Yeah.
Joy unspeakable is available. Peace that surpasses all understanding is available.
Yeah.
You know, so what I'd also recommend is to listen to our song, Stay in Your Presence by River Nation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's a good one.
Yeah. So that song actually is the song that I wrote when I tasted and I saw God's goodness for the first time. Mm. And it came out of my heart. It was a 20-minute songwriting session on the way home, just driving back from church. I was just beating the steering wheel. I was like, I want to stay in your presence, stay in your presence. And I just finished the song as soon as I got home. And then, yeah, it's out. It's on Spotify. But yeah.
Praise God.
All right, so let's pray. Could I get let's see. You know what? Both of you pray, I reckon. So Jamison start.
Alrighty.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for everyone that is listening to this podcast right now. Thank you, Lord God, that you love every single one of them. Thank you, Father, that you have a plan and purpose for their lives, Lord God, and that Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, that you have died for them. Thank you, Lord God, that you, through your blood, have forgiven all their sins, that their past is in the past. And I thank you, Lord God, that you have life and life abundant in front of them, Lord God, and that they can step into that life. I thank you, Lord God, that you are just working with them to will and to do. And I thank you, Lord God, that you have great wisdom, great joy, peace, Lord God, everything of a blessing before them, Lord God, that they can receive and live in. So I thank you, Father, for bringing restoration to these people and setting them in the right direction, Lord God. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for everyone that is listening or is about to listen. And I thank you, God, that it is not it's not a coincidence that they are listening to this podcast right now. I thank you, Jesus, that you are calling them back, oh God, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that there is no condemnation in you, Jesus. So I just thank you, Father, that they can come boldly to you. They can run back to you. And you're just there, Jesus. You are just there waiting for them to, yeah, God, to run to you in Jesus' name. So I just thank you, Holy Spirit, that you just open up and prepare their hearts for what's about to come in Jesus' name. So I thank you, God. I thank you for these people. Lord, you are calling them in. You're calling those who have fallen away in Jesus' name. So I just thank you, God, that they are all coming back right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord. We just give you glory for them.
Yes.
We just give you thanks and give you all the glory and praise and honor because you deserve it, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 All right, thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
I wanna stay.